So one of the other new things we're doing today, is for the first time ever in my life as a preacher, I have no manuscript. This is it. It's a little terrifying. I'm going to try to, I'm not completely unprepared, but I'm hoping and I'm going to trust that the Spirit is going to speak through me and through all of us. This is a community affair, and as we just heard, God's Spirit is within all of us. But to get us a little more in the mood of what happened, what may have happened, what seemed to have happened during that first giving of the Holy Spirit, that particular Pentecost that we're remembering today, we have a little video experience that I will invite you to participate, engage in. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, estaban todos los discípulos molestados. De repente vino del cielo un ruido como de una ráfaga de viento impetuoso y llenó toda la casa donde estaban. Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, todos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en otras lenguas, según el Espíritu les daba la habilidad para expresarse.
Tra otilko ne chanti yini ko hada de bije ako ne chilti yini yada kutiago asa dine da baza be yada tilko ba yada ze bike. The word of the Lord.
Could some of you pick out some? There were three different languages, not counting English, being spoken. Could you tell what they were? Anyway, Spanish was one. Navajo?
German.
Yep. So if you were a speaker of any of those languages, it doesn't feel like you'd be able to understand. But that's just a little bit of my imagination about what that maybe was like for people to be gathered in that one place and to be able to hear hear things being spoken in their language that they weren't expecting. Are there things, you may have guessed, this is another opportunity for group engagement with the scripture this morning. Are there other things that struck you as you either listened to the scripture passage or in particular experienced that video? That was Nelson Capitan, who is a member of our presbytery, who's Navajo and lives on the Laguna, is married to a woman from the Laguna Pueblo, and he recorded that for us. Transformed them. It didn't burn. It makes me think of the burning bush. Moses and the burning bush didn't burn, but transformed. Yeah. So that feeling of, for the people that were gathered that day, that feeling of, oh my gosh, I can understand. That's connection. So a couple of things struck me as I was thinking about this passage. I was struck by this idea of the people around them who said, we hear them in our own languages. We hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. So they were able to hear things that they had not heard before. They were able to understand things that they had not seemingly not been able to understand before, that had not been communicated to them before. And so I felt like that's God saying, get out there. Get out there in the world. Don't just stay where you are talking to people that already know what you're saying, speaking to people that already speak your language. Get out there and go to where people are and find ways to tell them about my love and my power and my forgiveness and my gentleness in ways that they'll understand. Maybe they don't speak your language. Maybe they don't speak church talk. Maybe they, I read an email this week from Barna, the Barna group that does research studies, and that said that people are not, so, non-Christians are not, so it's not that they're not interested in who Jesus is, they're not interested in the church because of, we all know why, but I mean, we have ideas about why. And then there was another one that said the top five reasons they ask people why are you not interested in religion or Christianity? And the top five reasons, I think, were hypocrites. They see hypocrisy among churchgoers. Not one religion can have all of the answers. Suffering in the world. And a couple of other things that would not be surprising to any of us, you know, coming back from this trip on the doctrine of discovery, learning more about things that have been done in the name of the church. I was introduced to a song recently called "I'm Not Afraid," and the woman says, "I'm not afraid of your God, of your Jehovah. I'm not afraid of your Allah. I'm not afraid of your Jesus. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God." And it went on to other things. And so there are plenty of people who, as we all know, who look at the church, who look at the institution, who look at people who claim to be Christian and say, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't see love. I don't see hope. I don't see forgiveness. I don't see peace. So I feel like in this passage, God is saying, find ways to tell people about these parts of me. Find language that they will understand. Find experiences, go to where people are who don't know about me, about my power, about my love and my goodness, and find a way that will make sense to them. We shouldn't expect, I think we know in the 50s, there was a, you know, if you build a church, they will come, right? If you build it, they will come. Come in. Come to our church. You're welcome. Come on. And now we are the ones who need to go out. We are the ones who need to find the languages that maybe we don't speak. The languages, maybe they aren't comfortable to us. Maybe they aren't familiar to us. But what would communicate? There's a reason why we're here. There's a reason. There are reasons, multiple reasons, why we keep coming back on Sundays, why we think this is important. And so those are the things we need to maybe find different words. Find what are people experiencing out there? And how can we communicate with them in ways that they will understand? That's one of the things that struck me about this. I was thinking of a story that I heard one time about a father who said to his wife, it makes me sad. None of our kids are interested in my hobbies. I can't get them interested in my hobbies. And the wife said, why don't you find out what they're interested in? Don't just expect them to take on your stuff. Go and say, what is it that interests you? What do you tell me about what you like? So I was thinking about that. And I was also thinking about the fact that not just we who name ourselves to be Christians or even bigger than that, people of faith, have a spiritual self. Everybody has a spiritual self. There's where people have, somebody said, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. We're not human beings who have a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience right now. Everybody has a spirit. I had the difficult honor of meeting with the father and stepmom of Miles Weaver, a junior in high school who died last week. And they invited me to help lead a memorial service for Miles. And they said, we're not religious people. We don't want any fire and brimstone. We don't want, you know, maybe a prayer-ish would be okay. But then the stepmom said, but we want to know, like, can you talk about a connection, a bigger reality? And And, you know, people want to know that there's something more than this that we can see and touch, and that in spite of all the chaos and darkness and madness in the world, there's something more. There's something good. There's some kind of love. So how do we communicate to that to them in a way that makes sense, in a language that they can understand? I think God is telling us in this passage, figure that out. Figure that out. Go tell about me in a way that people can understand. People who don't know the language, people who don't like the language, people who have rejected the language, find a way that makes sense to them. The other thing that I just wanted to mention is this idea that we are all spiritual beings. We each have God's spirit within us. And it has been put within us so that we might express it and share it. And we each need to express that in a different way. So the question of what has God put within us that is waiting to be expressed, that needs to be expressed. Jean expresses some of the reality of God within her through quilting. This is a quilt that Jean made. It is an award-winning quilt, and she brought the awards, and we are going to try and display it a little more fully during the coffee hour. But we express what God has put within us in so many different ways, not just spoken language, not just written language, but through song, through quilting, through cooking, some of us, through moving our bodies, some of us, through painting, in so many different ways. So I invite you to consider this morning two questions. What is it that God has put within you? And how do you express that? How do you share that with the world? And some of that might be in a way that other people can understand. That's not the language that they have rejected or don't speak. Any other thoughts from others of you as we consider this giving of the Holy Spirit? I am going to invite you into a few moments of silence, stillness. If you'd like to get up and walk around and stretch, you can do that for some additional reflection on the passage. Amen.